Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." So, whoever says to this mountain, "Be removed, cast into the sea." You know, the Jewish culture in that day and time knew well that that was metaphorical, that Jesus meant, that to them meant the difficulties in life. Be thou removed, and it will be cast into the sea, and it'll be out of your way. So, you know, when we come to be a believer in Jesus and we get to know him and we start that walk with him, it is easy to think, especially in that initial coming to Jesus time and even throughout our walk with him, it's easy to think that, oh, well, you know, this Christian walk and eternity and the kingdom of God and having supernatural power and all those things available to us, it's easy to start thinking and struggle with the thoughts of, well, things should be good. There's got to be a way to get to a place where there's no longer difficulty. There's no longer pain. There's no longer mountains. But that's just not reality. There's not a believer that has lived on this earth that didn't have difficulties, including Jesus himself. He faced the cross. The whole time he walked this earth, he was headed to the cross. So his disciples, after he passed, there's a little book you can pick up and find out that what happened to many of them after the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Many of them had some very ugly endings, including, you know, being hung upside down on the cross, like Peter, boiled in oil. We know that John, that happened to John, then he was put on the Isle of Patmos. Just so many things that difficulties when we come to know Jesus don't end. But what happens is we get strength to endure through those difficulties. We see, what I want to come out of tonight is this: faith is not an event on a calendar, and it's not just an experience. Faith is a process. Faith is built little by little by little. Sometimes there's big jumps in that. There's things that happens and we take some big leaps. But I know that in my just time being with Jesus and getting to know God, I have seen the most destructive thing and most painful things that I have seen is when people initially came to God and they took huge leaps of faith and then crumbled after that. It's very painful to see someone go through that and to see that happen. So even if we come to Jesus and we take a huge leap and then we fall and then we leap and then we fall, even if that's the case, because I've seen it where that happens, and those individuals just keep getting knocked down, but they keep getting back up until they finally find a steadiness. There is a commitment. Now, there's some that come and do that, and they don't come back from it. But the thing is there's a steadiness that we've got to find in our walk with God. There is a commitment, and commitment gets us to steadiness. When we get to steadiness, then we learn process. And the process of faith is one of the most important foundational tools that we can have. And if we always remember that God has us in a process, that life is a process, that faith and growth in the kingdom of heaven and getting to know him, it is a process, that the difficulties of life are there for a reason. They're a part of the process. You know, when Peter walked out on water, Jesus called him out. You know, Peter said, "Hey, Lord, let me come to you and walk on water." You know, we hear that sermon so many times over and over again. I know I have. And, you know, I can't knock Peter. You just can't knock him. He actually walked on water. Period. That's I'd say the end of the story, but it's really not the end of the story. There's a very important thing to grasp from that. He was willing to walk on water. He actually got out of the boat. See, what we don't want to happen is we don't want to ever in our Christian life get to a point or a place where we're not willing to get out of the boat. It's easy to get stagnant. It's easy to put things in neutral. It's easy to live our lives based on what's going on at work and what our when our favorite TV show's coming on and what's going on during the week. It's easy to go into neutral. That's the easy thing to do. And just repetitively repeat the things that we're supposed to be doing. See, a lot of us think that because we're doing that, that we're actually participating in the process, and we're not. If we're engaged with Jesus and doing that, then we're engaging in the process. It is possible to go through the motions and get nothing out of it. Not grow, not change, not be engaged. It is easy to do that. I know I've done it. It's easy to get in that place where the growth just stagnates and stops. And see, that's not walking on water. And that is not moving mountains. That is just going through the motions. And we don't want to be out, but we also don't want to be just stuck going through the motions. I mean, it's worse to be sitting in a boat when everybody else is walking on water or everybody else is paddling and we're not doing any work to help along the way. And I'm not talking about physical work. I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about growing in Jesus, growing in relationship, growing in maturity with God. It is a process. That faith building is a process. You know, I think it says in James, I think I have it marked here. James 1:6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. What is doubting? He who doubts is like a wave driven by the wind and the sea. Continually moving around, up one minute, down the next, up one minute, down the next. See, the process, when we're engaged with Jesus and growing in maturity and we're speaking the mountains and we're not driven by the wind of the sea and like a wave where we're continually up and down, the process is when we're engaged in relationship with Him and we're continually growing like this. It doesn't always look like this. A lot of times it's just steady climbing and steady growing. Faithful week in and week out. Faithful day in and day out in the process of being engaged with Jesus, pursuing Him, being hungry for Him, learning His Word, getting into His Word, doing all those things, witnessing, sharing our faith, being engaged, looking forward to the things that He has every day. Getting up and setting our focus to Him. Like Peter. Peter sank when he got his eyes off of Jesus and he started looking at the waves and he started looking at the wind. That's what it says. He started looking at the storm that was going on around him, took his eyes off of Jesus, and sank. And Jesus pulled him back up. It doesn't matter so much that we're going to sink sometimes. We're going to make mistakes. The fact is that He is there to pull us back up. The fact of the matter is we don't ever want to get to where we sunk a time or two or a few times even, and we stop getting out of the boat. We just stop. We just stop doing the things that are uncomfortable concerning Jesus, the things that stretch us, the things that cause us to grow in Him. It's easy to just put it in neutral in our Christian walk. But God did not call us to do that. He called us to continually be growing, continually daily be pushing forward in Him. You know, talking about James, you know, the he who doubts is like the wind-driven wave. The process is our stability. When we're in the process of faith and we're engaged with Jesus, then we're stable. We're not shaken when things come along. We're not pushed by circumstance or the wind. It doesn't mean that the circumstances necessarily change immediately. It just means when they come along and we're staring at a mountain, that we're not shaken by it. We keep moving forward. We keep steadily. You know, someone who's not driven by the wind, who's not doubting, when they come to a mountain, it's either going to tell it to move out of the way until it moves out of the way, or we're going to start climbing it. It's one or the other. We won't just stop in our tracks and sit down. The more we know Jesus, the less we're driven by the waves and stopped by the mountains. The more we know Jesus, the less we're driven by waves and wind and stopped by mountains. You know, I wanted to share a story, a couple of stories, but one, there was a couple of men, and I may have shared the story before, I don't know that I did it here, but there was a couple of men that wanted to go ice fishing, and they went out on the lake, one man one time, one man another time, and the first man went out, and he wasn't familiar with the ice, so he went out, going to drill his hole and drop his line in the water or whatever, but he got about part way out on the ice lake and he heard some cracking and he got nervous and got scared and sat down on the ice. Just like, I can't go any further. He was scared to go back and he was scared to go forward, so he just kind of sat down. Eventually crawled back to the shore. It's like, I ain't doing that again. The next man comes along and he just walks straight out to the middle of the lake, drills a hole and drops his line in and starts catching fish. What was the difference? One man was familiar with the ice. Obviously, he had been out there before. Obviously, he knew the ice would hold him up. Obviously, he knew what season and time it was and that it was thick enough. The other man didn't have answers to all those questions because he hadn't spent any time on the ice and he was completely unfamiliar with it. We have to be familiar with Jesus. That is just bottom line, personal time with him. Nothing else will do that. Not even attending church, not going through the none of that will do that. Only personal, individual, engaged time with Jesus will do that. Where we're familiar enough to step out and witness, to step out and pray for people, to step out and do things that in our Christian lives, in our relationship with God, that he's told us to do, but they're very uncomfortable. But it's just like the man that's on the ice who sits down. That's what happens. When we're unfamiliar with him and we're called to do those things, we'll just stop and sit down and put it in neutral and go through the motions. And that is not what God has called us to do. That is not living a faith-filled life. That is being driven by the wind. That man was driven by fear because it was unknown to him. He wasn't familiar with the ice. But the other man was familiar and he knew he could walk out there and do what he needed to do. And he got a reward for it. So if we're familiar with Jesus in a personal time and engaging with him, there is a process that happens of faith when that occurs. And through the life that we grow in him, we grow in relationship with him, we grow in the things that we know to do. We begin to do it and try it a little bit. Yeah, we might mess up. Yes, we will. I'm just going to tell you now, we will mess up if we step out and do things God has called us to do. And it's okay. Like I said, be like Peter. Get out of the boat sometimes. Do things that are uncomfortable and stretching that cause us to grow in Jesus. But we'll never do those things if we're not doing the first things first, which is being familiar with him, growing in relationship, engaged with him, spending personal time with him. You know, one of the stories I read yesterday and today, I read a couple of different stories, but one of the stories that I read that really jumped out at me was there was Mother Teresa. You know, she was a little old woman, you know, a nun in the Catholic organization, and she started helping widows and orphans and mentally disabled people, and just the neediest of the needy is what she did. And she set up over her lifetime, the span of life. And I mean, we're talking, you got to think, I mean, you got to realize, you got to go back and think about this. How much difficulty would she have had to do what she did? Think about this. She set up an organization that by the time she died was in over 25 countries in the world. Countless orphanages, mentally disabled homes, you know, places that worked with all kinds of the neediest people in the world. And she had these facilities and stuff was paid for. Stuff was done. You can think about the money it took to be in 25 countries and so many different continents of the world. And arguably, in her time, in 1994, she was invited to do a prayer breakfast at the White House. And she was arguably the most respected person on the planet at this time. Why? Because she knew God. Obviously, she was familiar with Jesus. And she did the stuff. But here's the thing. Because she was familiar with Jesus and his ways, she was able to move mountains. She had to move mountains with men all the time, being a woman. She had to move those mountains to set up organizations and structures and homes and provide money and raise money and put things into place. Imagine how much she had to deal with. And then in her time to do all that organizational skill. I mean, that takes a CEO, somebody who's gone to college, but she did all that. She moved big mountains. Why? Simply because she was familiar with Jesus and she charted out to do what God had called her to do. And in 1994, she got up and she gave a lashing to our government, which probably she's the only person in the world that could have ever done this. But she got up and she began to say things and they were applauding her and you know, like, yes, you know, agreeing with her because she was talking about the needy and the disabled. But then she got on the subject of abortion. And boy, she let them have it. I mean, she just didn't mince words. If anybody else had said the things that she said, they would have been run off the stage, booed, screamed at, yelled at. Our leaders didn't even clap, some of them. Some of them were squirming in their seats because she began to talk about how, you know, in America and families, we put people in nursing homes instead of trying to take on the difficulty of keeping someone in our lives, in our, you know, in our homes. And she said some pretty hard stuff that had everybody in the room squirming and then went over the abortion thing. But nobody else could have said that. Everybody else would have been ran off. But she was, because she had respect. Why did she have respect? Because she had moved mountains in her life. In her lifetime, she had moved some very big mountains, and she was not tossed by the wind and the wave. Can you imagine the pressure in that time, in that room, to not say what she said? I couldn't imagine feeling the pressure, knowing that you're about to say something that's going to make everybody in the room mad at you. And we're talking about the most powerful country in the world, and you're coming up here to say this stuff and basically give them a spanking for what they're doing wrong by what you're talking about. Could you imagine the pressure not to? But she wasn't driven by the wind and the pressure, and she wasn't moved by the mountain. And she was able to say with God exactly what needed to be said. And she did something in her lifetime that was absolutely a miracle, for one, and it's still going today. Still going. Taking care of the neediest of the needy in our world. She had that steadiness. She understood the process. That's why she was able to do what she did. She was able to build one day upon the next. Do the next day a little bit better than the day before. Build on what you did the day before. She knew process of faith. She knew how to build it. And it's built over time. If we get discouraged when we think, well, I didn't do this today, or I didn't do that, or I didn't make this big leap. But see, it's not the big leaps that make it. It's the little steps along the way, a leap here and there, that cause steadiness and growth. And that's where the real faith meets the road. That's where we really grow. It's in the daily walk. It's in the day-to-day, continually moving forward. It's in whatever our habits are day-to-day. Whatever we're focused on. If we're not engaging with Jesus every day and we're not focusing time on Him and to spend time with Him, then our habits are our process. And that process, if it's not founded and rooted in Jesus, then we're not going to grow the way we're supposed to grow. And faith will not increase. Faith is increased in the day to day. There was another lady I read about. She was in her 90s when she passed away. And she had retired from the IRS when she was, it was back in like 1943 or 1944. She retired from the IRS she was a tax lawyer of some sort. She retired with like $5,000 saved. And when she passed away in 1995, she had given to this Jewish university, Yeshiva University in New York, she willed her whole estate to them. But the surprising thing about this lady was that she retired with just $5,000 in the bank, and then she was on Social Security for the rest of her life. Like over 50 years retired, because she retired in the 40s, passed away in 95. And the university, when they received the letter from her, were in complete shock, because this lady lived in an apartment that cost $400 a month, paint peeling off the wall, furniture she'd had since the 40s or 50s. She never replaced anything that was broken. She just made things work, fixed what needed to be fixed, lived an extremely modest life. Would walk. She wouldn't even buy a newspaper. She would walk down to the library and read the newspaper once a week. And when she passed away, she sent her estate and her will off. You know, she had it all set up. And this university received this letter of her will from her lawyer when she passed away. And everybody, you know, everybody that knew her thought she didn't have two dimes to rub together. But the shock was she had willed to this Jewish university $22 million. Why? Because she understood process. She saved her whole life. And she invested her money. When she got that $5,000 and she retired, she put that money into some kind of plow making company or whatever in the stock market and just left it alone. See, a lot of people will invest, and they'll want, when things tank or go down, they'll want to pull their money out and get it out. Or it goes high and they want to get their money, they'll get their money out, whatever. She understood process. So she put her money in there and she let it sit there, stay. For decade after decade after decade. That one stock alone was worth $7.5 million when she passed away. And over time, every time she would get some dividends or some extra from it, I guess dividends come every so often from it, she would take that money and buy other shares in other companies. And she just processed line upon line. Just she had a routine. She kept that routine and she built upon it. And by the time she passed away, she was a millionaire. Nobody would have thought it. Because she didn't change the way she lived, even though she was a millionaire. She just kept to the same rules, same principles, same process. Faith works the same way. We got to find a process that works for us and stick to it. Over time, we see change. Over time, we see maturity. Over time, we see growth. And that kind of growth is the kind of growth that we want, because that kind of growth sticks and stays. It's not movable. It's not shaken. There will be leaps along the way. There will be sudden explosions along the way. But you know what? When we have a steady foothold and we're not driven by wind and waves and we're not stopped by mountains and we're moving along and we have that process in place, the extreme jumps and the extreme growth times and the explosions and the good times, we can handle those times because we have a process that keeps us steady. Steadiness and process is important in faith. It's important in our walk with God and our relationship with Jesus to be steady and to be solid. In that process, there's persistence. And we know what the scripture says about the persistent widow. It's Luke 18:1. Luke 18:1. And you can read that. But you know, the widow just continually went to the judge and kept annoying him and kept aggravating him until he finally, the judge didn't fear God or man. We know the story. She continually went to him till he gave her justice over her, you know, the people that were bothering her, whatever she needed. He finally and said, look, just because she's bothering me continually, just give her what she wants so she'll leave me alone. Even on the bad side of things, Samson and Delilah. How many times, I think it was like three times, Samson gave her a lie, the wrong information. We know she wasn't a good woman at all. We know it was a bad thing. She was trying to steal his power and get him killed by the Philistines, his enemies. And he was a man of God. He shouldn't have been where he was. We know all that. But she continually, time after time, she kept asking. Till finally, Samson said, it says that she annoyed him so much that finally Samson gave in and gave her what she wanted. Cut my hair and that'll take away my power. His secret. There's something about persistence. If we can apply persistence to our process, to our growth with Jesus, to our daily walk, get a routine down. I got to tell you, I'm not a routine person. I'm not. That stresses me out to think about routine. I don't operate that way. But God's really been challenging me today that I need one. That's what He's been speaking to me. I need a process for steadiness, for growth, to be able to handle things that are coming. Because you can't just go by what you feel when there's growth and there's things coming that are bigger than you are. You got to have something steady to keep you in balance. And so I know that I'm going to share this with you. You know, God's been challenging me in that area to add some process to what I'm doing. And I'm not just talking about some empty shell word of process. I'm talking about, you know, putting some solid ground stuff to your daily routine, putting those things in place that cause that kind of growth, that cause the engagement with Jesus that we need every day, and the engagement with a continual process that causes us to grow in faith. Not just grow in finances or things like that. I mean, those things will happen if we're following Jesus. Because obviously Mother Teresa had a lot of finances, but we know that her focus and her passion was not finances. It was people. And the finances flowed because of her passion for people and her love for God. And the same will happen for us. God will provide wherever He leads us and wherever He guides us and whatever He's called us to do. But the thing is, at the end of it all, I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Good and faithful servant. Faithful, the word faithful to me just means steady. Continually always showing up, always doing what we know is right, always, you know, engaging, always going after it, just being faithful to whatever we've given ourselves or committed ourselves to. And we as believers have committed ourselves to Jesus Christ. And committing ourselves to Him is a process. It's something that's lived out, walked out on a day-to-day basis. So if you guys would just stand up, I want to pray. Father God, I thank You for tonight, God, and I thank You for Your goodness, God, and for Your love. God, I thank You for the process and the growth, God. I pray that You speak to each and every one of us here tonight where we need to shore up. God, show us where our weaknesses are and what areas of our growth and our daily walk need to be shored up and strengthened, God. Wherever we're weak, God. Father, the things that we're passionate about, that we want, God, we put a process to. So, Father, I pray that You help us put a process to our relationship with You. Prioritize that relationship with You so that we grow. That just like that lady who invested into stocks and things like that and put her savings in and then lived by a process, that just like she did that with money, God, I pray that we would be able to do that with You and our relationship with You. That we would put our stock, our love, our being, our time into relationship with You and can invest in that way and keep it stable and keep it steady, God. Father, anywhere that we're weak or driven by the wind or the waves, God, I pray that You shore up those weaknesses, shore up those places. Show us, God, what they are, as I know You're doing me. Show those places, God, where they need to be strength given, where we need to exercise some muscle and work out in areas of our lives, God, to strengthen things up. And Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that You would just pour the concrete, God, into our lives, Father. In Jesus' name, pour in desire, hunger for You, strength, God, ideas, wisdom, knowledge. Show us, God. Give us revelation by Your Holy Spirit what each individual, God, here tonight needs to do, God. Each one of us need to do something different. Some of us the same thing, but God, I pray that You would just begin to shore up those processes in our lives, God, that You have each one of us in a different place, but God, that some of us are in the same place, and that You would just shore up those weak areas and strengthen, God, those things, God, that we live out on a day-to-day basis, God. Remove things that cause confusion. Remove things that cause distraction. Remove things that pull our hearts in the wrong direction away from You, God. Father, I pray that we would, each of us here tonight, God, as You show us those things, that You'd give us the strength to say no, that You'd give us the strength to remove things, God, that You highlight to us that pull our affections away from You and begin to make changes, God, for You and the good, God, and for You in the process towards You. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.